anger against our fellow countrymen. An existential crisis hangs in the air, driving behavior to extremes. While I cannot help those who remember the morning of September 11th to process their emotions, I can say that it is long past time for us to do so. We must make the choice to confront our feelings about that day and to find some useful outlet for our anger and pain. We make a choice to bury those feelings. We make a choice to be cruel and incivil to those we disagree with. We make a choice not to listen to one another. We need to change those choices, and we need to change them now, so that we can reach out to a suffering generation and help them find a United States that brings them joy and pride, just as it did for us 18 years and one day ago. This is WMFO Medford. We will return to the usual frivolity after this break. Now we'll leave you with one more song, which has become recently relevant as part of a show that is now running on Broadway. And that was, 18 years ago, one of the top radio hits of the summer.
You're not wired to have a response.
everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Yeah!
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight, when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 remains the telephone number. And as I said during the first hour of the show, you know, we need to face on this anniversary of September 11th a few uncomfortable truths. If we accept that Osama bin Laden's goal was to divide us, then we must accept that Osama bin Laden won. And that there was no great moment when this happened. There was no turning point over the last 18 years. This has been a slow erosion. We woke up one morning and looked around and said, what happened? When did we all start hating each other? When did we all start being unable to talk to each other? When did political differences turn violent? And the answer lies with us. It lies with us because we have not acknowledged our own emotions from that day. Because we've not acknowledged our own emotions from that day, we have raised a generation in fear that is now lashing out at the world around them. We need to stop. Every one of us. And the way that we stop is by acknowledging that we still carry that fear and uncertainty from 18 years ago, and trying to find ways to patch those holes in our lives so that we can be helpful to those around us. As I said, we make a choice. We make a choice to be incivil, or we make a choice to look out for each other. And we need to start recognizing that the person standing next to us is a fellow American citizen. And above and beyond that, a fellow human being and a fellow frightened traveler on the road to the grave. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all are. We don't need to add more existential fears on top of the big one that rules our lives. Moving on to discuss some of the news of the day. Every now and again, we get one of these politicians here in Massachusetts that you just can't seem to get rid of, and you just don't know what to do with, from the Boston Globe. Longtime listeners may remember our ongoing amusement at Free Willy L'Antigua up there in Lawrence, Massachusetts. A politician who never met a freebie he didn't like. He attempted to be a state representative and the mayor of Lawrence simultaneously before he was indicted. And he subsequently ran for re-election. I don't think Free Willy got re-elected, but he tried. Now it's Fall River. Embattled Fall River mayor says he has no plans to step down despite second indictment. Yes, you may remember Haziel F. Korea. As the mayor of Fall River, he insisted Wednesday that he has no plans to step down, despite a federal indictment for allegedly extorting marijuana vendors and other crimes, and a city council vote urging the young politician to vacate his office. Quote, the council resolution does not have any binding power behind it, Correa, 27, said in a Wednesday phone interview. He added that the city charter spells out how a sitting mayor can be removed, but only for a criminal conviction. The charter is silent, Correa said, on removing a mayor who's merely been accused of a crime. Well, yes, this is true, Mayor Correa. But there is also a thing known as doing the right thing and avoiding bad optics and not driving the bus off a cliff. You don't seem to understand these concepts, so let me spell it out for you a little bit. When you have been elected mayor and then recalled because you have been indicted by the federal government, and then you somehow get reelected mayor the same night, you may remember this one, right? They had a recall election in Fall River. They voted to remove Haziel F. Correa II from office and then elected him back to office because there was a loophole in the Fall River Charter that said somebody who is subject to a recall can still run for mayor. I think the city council fixed that loophole. Now they have another one to go fix. Last week, federal prosecutors alleged that Correa extorted four prospective marijuana vendors for hundreds of thousands of dollars from 2016 to 2019. I'm innocent, Correa said Wednesday, maintaining the indictment is, quote, based on a lot of hearsay statements from people who were in trouble themselves. I'll have my day in court. His defiant comments came one day after the city council voted 8-1 to temporarily relieve Correa of his duties while the criminal case is pending. Who's the one that voted to let the guy stay? This is where I need my media to do a better job. This is where I need the Boston Globe to say, oh, by the way, City Councilor Joe Smith, if there's a Joe Smith down there, sorry, this is hypothetical. By the way, City Councilor Joe Smith, fine. Keep the mayor that's been indicted twice for stealing money in the mayor's office. Don't see any problem with that. No issues with me. The council also passed a motion that Correa should vacate his office by 5 p.m. Friday. Correa has already weathered an attempt to oust him from office, which we discussed. He's the second Fall River mayor to face a recall vote since 2014, when William Flanagan was forced to leave office. Another test awaits Correa at the ballot boxes next week, with a preliminary city election scheduled for Tuesday. He is running against Paul Coogan and Erica Scott Pacheco, both of whom ran in the March recall election. Cliff Ponte, the council's president, said Tuesday's decision by the body is, quote, what's best for Fall River. The mayor needs to step up and leave. Messages left with Ponte were not immediately responded to Wednesday. Joseph I. Macy, Fall River's corporation counsel, had suggested the council's vote would not be legally binding. On Wednesday, Correa predicted he would survive the upcoming primary, and when the general election is held in November, quote, I do believe the voters are going to come out and vote for a person who has made a difference positively in their lives. So I guess Haziel Correa's view as mayor is, if I do good things for the people as a whole, it doesn't matter if I rob a handful of people. I can give up a few votes from people that I rip off because I'll have all the votes from the people who love me. And apparently one city councilor in Fall River who doesn't think the guy should be recalled despite his second federal indictment. I have not spent a lot of time in Fall River. I know people who are from that part of the state. And I have been led to believe that things are very different in Fall River and parts of the south coast of Massachusetts. It's not like it is elsewhere in Massachusetts, where if you did something like this, not only would you be driven from office, you would be driven from town. You can get away with things like this in Fall River. And honestly, at this point, I'm going to tell you, I would not be surprised if this guy gets elected again. I don't know what you do with the community like that. I really don't. because I am a firm believer in the democratic process. I think it is. I think our system is the best system we have on the planet. One person, one vote. But as I stress over and over again on this show, it requires an informed and educated electorate. Not a group of people sitting around saying, hey, the mayor gives me free stuff, so I don't care if he's shaking down pot dealers who want to open up dispensaries in town. I'm okay. It works for me. His corruption is not my problem. No. No. The second you catch a whiff of any kind of corruption from an elected leader, they need to be crossed off your vote for list. Whether it benefits you or harms you, the fact that this person is capable of behaving illegally, allegedly, of taking bribes, allegedly, of diverting funds from his investors, allegedly, that should disqualify that person from office. Someone who lies about their ethnicity to obtain material benefit should be disqualified from running for office. Someone who lies on a tax form so that they don't have to pay the government what they owe should not be running for office, should not be elected, shouldn't even be on the ballot. Now, we all know that the honorable politician is a myth. Okay? We're not dumb around here. We all get that. We understand this idea that politicians are good and honorable people who just want to serve is complete and utter nonsense. Okay? For the most part, politicians are vainglorious, power-hungry megalomaniacs who just want to rule us and take money and live a lavish lifestyle without having to work that hard. You know, they come out and they campaign every once in a while, and they'll show up and they'll host a town hall, and they'll be like, oh my God, so much work, so hard being a politician, so hard. And look, sometimes you do have to make actual real decisions. But we don't have, you know, we don't have a strong political class in this country. Okay? We don't have huge numbers of well-educated, thoughtful people looking out for the benefit of America as a whole running for government. Because people who think like that realize that you can make way more money in the private sector. And if there is a failure in capitalism, this may be it. And this may be the big one. Because people who would be great public leaders, people who can run businesses, people who understand how to make complex systems work, people who understand how budgets work, they don't want the job. They'd rather be working in private enterprise. They'd rather own their own company. They'd rather consult for somebody. Because if you're a politician, half the people are unhappy all the time. And you're constantly scrambling to get money, and you're constantly scrambling to get votes. Everything that you say and do is scrutinized. They still manage to get out and have a good time by the look of things. But the people who have the real drive to change the world are Elon Musk's, are Bill Gates, are T. Boone Pickens, are Lee Iacocca's. They're not in the government. They don't want to be in the government. They don't want to be anywhere near it. They want to run corporations. Because in the corporation, they can control what happens. They get to be the decision maker. And they can reap greater benefits. So what we're left with is people who want to be politicians. And as Groucho Marx famously said, I never want to be in any club that would have me as a member. That's the way that you need to think about politicians. The more they want the office, the less you should want to vote for them. Give me somebody who's half in, half out, and is like, you know what? I'm going to run because it's my civic duty, and I really can't deal with what this other candidate is doing. Please, you know, vote for me. That's the person you vote for. versus Taylor saying, I want to be president. I really, 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 really want to be president. Don't vote for that person. Good God, don't vote for that person. Because they want the job. And if they want the job, it's either because they want the power or they got some crazy idea that they're waiting to unload on the American people. This is why Joe Biden is a better candidate in general. I can't endorse anybody. I'm not endorsing anybody. But this is why Joe Biden is a better candidate in general than Elizabeth Warren. Because I don't think Joe Biden wants the job. Joe Biden's doing this because he has to. Right? Bernie really wants the job. And Elizabeth Warren really wants the job. Those are the first two names you should cross off your list. They really want the job badly. Which tells me that they have got bad ideas for America. Joe Biden's like, yeah, I'll be president. Pete Buttigieg is like, I'll do it. I think we can fix some stuff. He doesn't strike me as somebody whose life is going to end if he doesn't become president of the United States. Okay? Bernie's at that point right now. Bernie's like, I must be president to fulfill my destiny. Elizabeth Warren is like, I have to be president of the United States to fulfill my destiny. Oh, boy. No. There is no destiny filling among presidential candidates. Any politician who wants the job that bad is a politician that you should avoid. Trust me on this. They are all megalomaniacs. And we have no use for them. 855-915-9636. There is a story out today that is bad news for people in similar occupations to mine who are not me. Because it seems that there is a crisis of faith in our news media. Now, I would hope those of you who listen to this show do so because you find this to be a refreshing change from the nonsense that presents itself as news media elsewhere in the United States, whether it be on your radio, on your internet, wherever you happen to be. I am here and attempting every single week to bring you what is valuable, what is important, and with as little bias as possible. I go out of my way to see both sides here. Okay? I am here to give you my opinion, but I'm not here to tell you how to think. I expect half of you to disagree with me. Or actually, more accurately, I expect a third of you to disagree with me. I expect a third of you to agree with me. And I expect a third to be, yeah, he's kind of got a point. Apparently, that's not what's happening with most of the media in the United States. From The Wrap, which is, you know, actually has a really nice article on local actor Anthony Carrigan in it. I suggest you read that. You might know him from Barry or Gotham. He's grew up in Winchester. Very nice young man. But from The Wrap, fake news fears. This number, just whenever I see polls throwing out extreme numbers, I immediately question the poll. But here we go. Fake news fears. 95% of Americans troubled by current state of media, poll finds. 95%. Who are the 5% that are okay with it? Right? I mean, I've broken down the numbers before. And I will break them down again because they come up time and time and time again. Here in the United States, approximately 27% of people are Democrats. Approximately 27% of people are Republicans. Those two numbers shift by a percentage point or two every few years. So sometimes it's 29% Democrats and 25% Republicans. Sometimes it's 29% Republicans and it's 26% Democrats. But as a rule of thumb, over time, the average has been 27% Democrats, 27% Republicans. That's 54%. The other 46% of Americans, unenrolled. And of those unenrolled Americans, people who don't consider themselves a Republican or a Democrat, some of them lean to the left, some of them lean to the right. So when you see polls in this country, if you get 60% of people to agree on something, What it means, and that's hugely significant, by the way. What it means is that not only did you get all of the Republicans or all of the Democrats to agree on something, but you also got a majority of the people who aren't Democrats and Republicans to agree on it. Because you're only starting with 27%, which means you got 33%, way more than half of those independent, moderate, middle-of-the-road people to say, yeah, I like this, or yeah, I hate this. So when you see a poll number that says 60% of Americans, we take that seriously, and you should take that seriously. As long as the poll isn't, you know, hanging out at some bar in Portland, Oregon, asking Antifa how they feel about the issues. That's not a real poll. I don't know that this is a real poll. Okay. 95% of Americans troubled by current state of media. But my first question when I see that headline, who are the 5% who are okay with the media? Right? In the last story, I want to know who the one Fall River city councilor is who thinks that twice indicted mayor, Haziel F. Korea II, should still be in office. Now I want to know who the 5% of Americans who are happy with the current state of media are. Wait, I can guess. It's journalists. Right? It's all the bloggers. It's all the broadcasters. It's the people at CNN. And the people at Fox, and the people at MSNBC, and the people at the New York Times, who are all sitting around saying, hey, you know what? The media's fine. The media's great. Right? Do we have 5% of the population working in the media? Because that would explain this. You got 5% of the American population working in the media and living in a bubble. And 100% of America that does not work in the media saying, you guys are doing a crappy job. Do you realize that? And they're all sitting around going, everyone loves us. We're awesome. And America's saying, no, you're doing a crappy job. Study finds that 67% of people think journalistic ethics will be worse during the 2020 election. Well, that 67% of people are wrong because there is no conceivable way that journalistic ethics could be worse than they are now. We are at the bottom when it comes to journalistic ethics. You may recall that CNN ran a fake story just on Monday about the United States having to get, get a CIA operative out of Russia because they were afraid Donald Trump would reveal his identity. That operation began before Donald Trump took office. And the CIA issued a very stinging rebuke of what CNN had to say. Of course, after all the little blogs run with it. Have you heard the apology from CNN? Nope, you're probably still waiting. 67% of people think journalistic ethics will be worse. You're wrong. They can't get worse. They can't. They cannot. From the rap. Nearly all Americans are troubled by the state of the media. According to a new study from boutique PR agency Bospar, in collaboration with Propeller Insights. I used to recommend this strategy to my clients. Go out and run your own survey and publish it. Because the media will run any poll that anybody sends them. They really will. Like, you come up with some poll, some idea to ask people questions about things, and it doesn't matter who you are. A boutique PR agency means it's a two-person shop with like three clients. Propeller Insights, I got no idea who these people are, okay? But here we go. The survey of 1,010 American adults found that more than 95%, the survey's already junk, but there's some truth in here, so we're going to stick with it, found that more than 95% are troubled by the current state of the media, with 53% citing reports on fake news, 49% citing reporting gossip, and 48% citing lying spokespeople as the key causes. I don't necessarily disagree with that assessment, okay? Fake news is a problem, okay? 53%, kind of a significant number. Remember, I said you get 60%. You've got a real majority in the United States. So 53%, that's either all of the Democrats or all of the Republicans and half of the moderates to get to that number. 49% citing reporting gossip. I think that's a general. That's a general thing. We have seen the complete death of fact-checking and legitimate sourcing in our media in recent years. We know this. 48% citing lying spokespeople. Now, I want to know more about this. And they don't answer this question. And you are bad journalists at The Wrap for not including the full text of the original survey and the specific questions that people were asked. Because lying spokespeople covers a lot of ground. Lying spokespeople could mean whoever President Trump's press secretary is at the moment. And we know that there are 27 to 29% of Americans that simply believe anything the White House press secretary says is a lie. Okay? It also could mean Brian Stelter. It could mean Rachel Maddow. It could mean Don Lemon of the Low IQ News Hour on CNN. It could mean any of these people. But you don't tell us this. Who are the lying spokespeople? I want to know who the lying spokespeople are so that I stop listening to them. But if 49% of Americans are citing lying spokespeople, that means nearly half the country thinks everyone is lying. You're not far off. You're not far off. The other 51% listen to this radio show where there is no lying. Other factors, I love this. Other factors ranging from celebrity opinions so that people don't like celebrity opinions. Thank you, America. Thank you, America, for saying that. And again, bad journalism at The Wrap. I want to know that 95% of Americans are sick of reading celebrity opinions because I think that's about the correct number. Even though that number never goes that high, I think that's the correct number. And it's the 5% of people who just sit on Facebook all day long following celebrity news who get this stuff blown up into the news cycle. Other factors ranging from celebrity opinions to left and right wing agendas to the possible reporting of blind items in the news also spark concern. Of the respondents, 67% believe ethics in journalism will be worse during the 2020 presidential campaign. Already addressed this. They can't be worse than they are now. We are already living in an ethics-free age of journalism. From the New York Times on down, everyone has been publishing rumors and uncorroborated information since Donald Trump took office. I don't care, we're talking about the Times, we're talking about CNN. MSNBC obviously made a career out of that. Rachel Maddow made a career out of that. But it's not like Fox News is getting things right either. No one is doing the job correctly, except for Reuters and Associated Press. And even they're getting stuff wrong once in a while. But to see the New York Times engage in as much poorly vetted journalism as it has over the last couple of years ought to be a legitimate cause for concern. And the fact that they're not addressing it is an even bigger cause for concern. Because as I've brought up in the past, the New York Times is not just a newspaper. It is not just our newspaper of record. It is the first draft of United States history. Years from now, our historians are going to look at microfiche or Excel spreadsheets or some kind of laser-scanned copy stored in a diamond to find out what the New York Times had to say about the news of the day, to look up the names and the places and the dates. And if the New York Times gets it wrong, history will get it wrong. 40% of those surveyed considered local print and online journalists as the most ethical, and 23% considered local TV reporters and anchors most ethical. That's not a good look for the local TV reporters and anchors. And I will say, in recent years, here in Boston at least, we have seen a trend away from the veteran anchor, the person that we've been watching, you know, for 10 or 15 years, toward young and pretty people who don't seem to know the area as well and don't seem to have the same amount of gravitas as a Chet or a Natalie or a Jack Williams, who really was. Jack Williams was the original pretty boy in Boston News, but Jack Williams was also someone that you trusted and someone who you knew understood the area. National print and online journalists are considered the most trustworthy. National print and online journalists are considered the most trustworthy by 22%. Okay. All right. This is where you've written the sentence badly. Because you made it sound like national print and online journalists are trustworthy. They're not. The Huffington Post is not a legitimate news source. Okay? Anything from Gizmodo Media, not a legitimate news source. Okay? TheBlaze.com? Nope. Breitbart? Nope. There's so many bad news outlets out there. And as I've said, Broken Clock is right twice a day. Every once in a while, these guys will get something right. But for the most part, if you're getting your news on the internet, you're getting garbage news. The only places that you want to go, that you can go, are Associated Press and Reuters. And I'll give AFP, which is Agence France-Presse. They do a pretty good job most of the time. But they go on some wild flights of biased fancy over there as well. So 22% of respondents trust national, online, and print journalists. Those are probably the same 22% that got arrested at the Straight Pride Parade a couple weeks ago. Only 15% said national TV anchors and reporters were the most ethical. I agree with you on that. Television news is not about the news anymore. It is about opinion. It is about what is going to get us eyeballs. We have David Muir in the Disney newscast clean it up every night, 6:30, 7, 7:30, whenever it's on your local ABC affiliate. And it's all the news that Disney wants to run. And you can expect plenty of promotion of Disney products and Disney theme parks and Disney movies and Disney everything. As you watch David Muir kind of smile and smugly grin his way through the events of the day. Lester Holt is a legitimate news guy. And probably, out of that group, the one you should be watching. I haven't seen CBS since their anchor change. Jeff Glor has gone back to haunt a B-movie at a drive-in. These results were released the week before BossPar is set to host its Ethics in Media panel. All right, I don't care about BossPar's Ethics in Media panel because this is now just shameless promotion for BossPar. The media, okay, so who says this? Media trust polling isn't new. In May, the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, they're unbiased, launched a, quote, mainstream media accountability survey. Oh, boy. Into inboxes around the country. The effort was a joint project paid for by the Donald Trump presidential campaign and the Republican National Committee. Quote, this is a quote from the email that they sent out to everybody. The media loves to pretend they're unbiased, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Liberal propaganda machines have used every possible tactic to slander, undermine, and insult the president as he fights to put America first. America first is in all capital letters, because it has to be. Now, that is complete nonsense. This survey is largely complete nonsense. 95% of Americans don't agree on anything. Okay? You could not get 95% of Americans to tell you that the sky is blue. Okay? For any given topic, any given subject, 10% of Americans have a crazy idea about it. Pretty consistent. 10%. Oh, and by the way, 10% of whatever you personally believe is utter nonsense. Just as 10% of what I believe is utter nonsense. We all have that little 10% threshold of nonsense floating around in our heads. It is the way we would like the world to be, or the thing we would like to believe rather than the thing that actually happened. You know, that girl in fourth grade really liked me. No, she didn't. No, she really didn't. And the fact that she moved away is not the reason you did not have a relationship later in life and make sexy babies together, okay? She didn't like you. But you believe that she did. That's part of your 10%. Who do you think John F. Kennedy, who shot John F. Kennedy? That's part of the 10% for a lot of people. So I'm not buying this 95% from BossPar PR boutique agency plugging their convention. But what they talk about here is legit. Reports on fake news, reporting gossip, lying spokespeople. The reporting of blind items is the same thing as reporting gossip. And celebrity opinions. All of these things that we see popping up in our news that a lot of us who are old enough to remember news know are not news. And this is where the disconnect sets in. Because the people running these websites and the people running the TV stations are chasing online data. They are chasing online eyeballs. And when they publish something that all of the people who sit online all day looking up celebrity gossip, they all come running in. And they're like, ooh, Kardashians. Ooh, Justin Bieber. Ooh, Beyonce said something. Ooh, they all come running over. And they're like, ooh, what's this? I need to look at this. Celebrity news. And they sit there and they go, hey, remember that story we wrote about the Trump tax cut? They got like 10 views on the internet. This thing about Beyonce just got like 10 million. Like, we should write more about Beyonce and less about Trump, right? Isn't that what the data is telling us? And so you get, every time something happens, here are the celebrity tweets, as if what Cher has to say about the events of the day has any meaning whatsoever. The only celebrity news that's worthwhile is Lori Loughlin continuing to deny that she deserves to go to jail for the Varsity Blues skin. We should all effort to be more like Felicity Huffman. Admit when we're wrong and take our punishment. And by the way, I hope Felicity Huffman gets none, because she's been pretty stand up in that whole thing. But that's an aside. In general, what passes for news is driven by the internet. It's driven by what gets shared. It's driven by what gets clicks. It's driven by what gets eyeballs on video. The internet does not reflect reality at all. I say this as somebody who is in digital marketing, who understands the internet intrinsically, who understands how to motivate people, who understands what false positives look like. Major media in the United States of America is chasing an ever-shrinking audience. But because they can run in big numbers every once in a while, they have adopted a strategy that appeals to that audience. And the reason their audience is ever shrinking is because all of us normal people who just want to find a place to get some news, to get some facts, go to the front page of USA Today, go to the front page of the New York Times, and say, what the heck is this? Where is the news? Here's your front page right now of USAtoday.com, okay? They have a legit story above the fold. Wait. They're breaking news. Triple Crown winner Justify failed drug test weeks before Kentucky Derby. That's not relevant to you. Their big story is legit. Supreme Court, asylum limits can go into effect. What does that mean? They don't say anything about it. And then what do we have below it? Streep calls New Little Women a masterpiece. Message in a bottle leads to hiker's rescue. Amanda Burns debuts new look in rare Instagram pic. Trump's Dorian claim faces congressional scrutiny. High school swimmers disqualified over her swimsuit overturned. I mean, that's not news. It's not. Who cares about what's happening on Instagram? You want to know what's happening on Instagram? Go look it up yourself. You don't need USA Today to bring it to you. Don't these people allegedly have like paid journalists who are supposed to be going out and figuring out what the heck is going on in the world and what's relevant in our lives? The asylum story here is the only thing that matters. And here's an ex-Disney Channel star accuses manager of rape. Again, is this relevant to you as an individual? No, it's not. But it's going to get everybody to run in. We've got Disney Channel and rape in the same. Run it on the front page. Oh boy, that's going to bring in the eyeballs. And then the online outrage follows. I can't believe, I'm heartbroken, I'm literally shaking, all of the performative nonsense that we have to go through. There is a very simple way to tell if you are reading a legitimate news story or a fake news story. And earlier tonight, on the first hour of the show, we dealt with a very emotional news story. One that we have a reaction to. But if you remember, if you were alive back then, and you remember how it was covered, if you were watching on TV, you remember the gasps of horror from anchors, from reporters, from people in newsrooms as those first images rolled in. And then as you heard earlier tonight, things went back to being somber. There was a flat, detached recall of what was known. That is news. News is boring. News is dull. News does not get you excited. If you read a headline or you read a story and you have an emotional reaction to it, you can pretty much assume that you are looking at a piece of fake news. Because real news exists to inform you. It provides plain, boring, basic facts. Fake news is designed to get you all hopped up. It's designed to get that emotional reaction. It's designed to get you to share. It's designed to get you to comment. It's designed to get you to freak out and start banging on your keyboard and start tweeting about how awful the world is. That's fake news. If it is written to appeal to your emotions, it's not real news. Now, in radio, where I happen to live, I have to be a little bit entertaining. I can't just sit here and drone on the facts of the day, or nobody would want to listen to this program. Nobody wants to listen to this program anyway, but I do what I can to make it a little bit more entertaining. Print should be as dull as it comes. Print should just be straightforward, straight up. This happened, this happened, this happened. You will note on this show that I frequently use the New York Post as a source, not because I consider the New York Post to be an unbiased bastion of great journalism, but because when it comes to doing a straight up flat facts recounting of some event, the Post is there in a way that no one else is. So keep that in mind. If you're fed up with fake news, if you're fed up with celebrity gossip, guess what? And celebrity opinions, guess what? We're stuck with it. Until somebody with a brain walks into a news organization and says, why is the audience down 90% in individuals since 2008? How did we lose 90% of our eyeballs? And why do we have this 10% that's left that comes back 30 times a day? That's not what we want. That's not what our advertisers want. We got to go get that 90% back. And they're going to throw out the tweet stories, and they're going to throw out the emotional headlines. They're going to throw out the clickbait. They're going to throw out the celebrity opinions. They're going to throw out the fluff, and they're going to throw out the nonsense. They're going to start reporting news again. And I guarantee you, whoever does this, whoever figures this out, and by the way, it's not going to be the New York Times, because they're gone. That's a dumpster fire over there right now. You have to let the dumpster fire burn itself out and then roll the dumpster away and get a new dumpster before you're going to see any change to the New York Times. But somebody is going to figure this out. Somebody's going to do straight, real news again. And when they do, you will recognize it because it will be boring, but it will tell you what you need to know. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number on the Talent Mikey D coming your way in just about 10 minutes. 10 minutes from now, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We have a band setting up over in Studio D. Live music coming your way at 10:30 tonight. Quick update on one of our stories from last week. This is according to was this the National Post? Okay, nope. Nope. We've had a fresh round of warnings about vaping coming out of the CDC in light of the mystery vaping illness. And as I said last week, there is public hysteria around this, and the reporting is not doing people any favors. The CDC is basically coming out and saying don't vape at all anywhere. don't use any kind of a vaping product. The president today said there may be a ban on flavored e-cigarettes because a pro-business president should be doing that in a capitalist society. No, he should not. This is all hysteria-driven at this point. But it is interesting to note that as of this point in time, as the CDC, as the National Post in Canada says, Canadian officials monitor reports of vaping-linked illnesses and deaths in the United States. Health Canada issued a warning recently, urging people to watch for symptoms such as a cough, shortness of breath, and chest pain. From the BBC, what's behind a vaping illness outbreak in the United States? Now, it is interesting to note that Canada and the United Kingdom, to date, have not seen a single incident of vaping illness. They do vape in those countries, and in at least one of those countries, they'll tell you that you should consider vaping as a way to quit smoking. We'll be back right after this here on WMFO Medford. As soon as I can find... Wait, I just queued up. Boom, there it is. FM Medford, 91.5 FM. The waning moments of the big picture. And time once again for What's Hot, my favorite thing of the past week. And this week, folks, it is Oktoberfest time. The best time of the year if you are a beer drinker. And if you like really, really good beer, really, really good beer, I'm going to tell you right now, get yourself down to your local liquor store because it's back in stock. Weinstephaner Fest beer. This is the original German Oktoberfest. It is the best Oktoberfest you can get. And for my money, one of the very best beers available on the planet at any time of year. If you haven't tried it, it is a delicious, crisp, refreshing lager. Oh my God, you want some of this. You'll find it at liquor stores near you. But if you want the real experience, get yourself up to Carl's Sausage Kitchen in Danvers, where they have it on draft. They came in last week. They're supposed to be on tap toward the end of this week. Call before you go. But if you do go, be sure to order it up in Das Boot. That is a 1 liter and a half glass shaped like a boot that will get you all of the tasty, tasty Weinstephaner Fest beer you can handle. And you can get it with a side of Carl's famous German mashed potatoes, homemade spätzle, and delicious sausage. That is all of the time that I have for this week. On the Time with Mikey D is coming up in just a minute. A quick programming note, I will not be with you next Wednesday night as I must attend a memorial for my dearly departed friend David Kleiler over at the Coolidge Corner Theater. So I will be there next week and not here. I will be back the following week with a regular show. Enjoy your September. Have a good week next week. Stick around for On the Town with Mikey D. Learn what you need to know about Boston music. And until next time, stay safe, everybody.